and the National Marine Fisheries Service are planning to allow ocean fish farming in Gulf waters. Precaution is the key to avoiding unwanted consequences from this new industry. The public needs more time and information to understand the potential impacts of ocean fish farming before this industry is allowed in the Gulf. To find out what you can do, check out earthcareradio.org. I'm Vicki Wolf with CLEAN, Citizens League for Environmental Action Now. And that's Earth Care for today and a better tomorrow.
You are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM. The time is now 3 o'clock. Coming up next, we've got the New Capital Show with Leo Gold, followed by Free Speech Radio News and KPFT Local News starting at 4 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the New Capital Show. It's great to be with you. Now that the rain has stopped here in Houston, Texas, and the cool weather is coming out. 90.1 FM KPFT is the station you are listening to. The best station here in the city. Telephone number here, 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. We've got an hour. Just an hour to solve all the problems of the world. I look forward to taking your calls. I will kick it off by mentioning that you can find us on the web at www.newcapitalshow.com, and on Facebook you can find me, Leo Gold. I love getting friend requests from people. I've gotten several very nice notes lately. I really, really appreciate it. And you can find me there, and you can find the show there as well. And you can find a podcast of the show. If you want to podcast the show, you can get that either on our website at newcapitalshow.com or on iTunes. On iTunes, you can search New Capital Show with me, and you will find us on iTunes, and you can sync up your gizmo, the one I've been talking about so much. I got mine a few weeks ago. It's unbelievable, this iPhone. And you can sync your phone up with New Capital Show so you don't miss any episodes. Getting right to some news items today. Very, very interesting things, always interesting things going on. New York Times reports from a few days ago, recycling is going, this was a very popular article, got emailed around by everybody. Recycling just seems to be a topic that people are so interested in. You know, they were so interested in it when we launched our petition to the city of Houston last year. People have continued to be interested in it. This is an article, recycling goes from less waste to zero waste. Is that great? At Yellowstone National Park, the clear soda cups and white utensils are not your typical cafe counter garbage. Made of plant-based plastics, they dissolve magically when heated for more than a few minutes. At Echo, a popular restaurant in Atlanta, waiters no longer scrape food scraps into the trash bin. Uneaten morsels are dumped into 5-gallon pails and taken to a compost heap out back. I bet they got some rats out there. I can assure you. That's all right. Nothing wrong with rats. And at 8 of its North American plants, Honda is recycling so diligently that the factories have gotten rid of their trash dumpsters altogether. That's unbelievable. A major manufacturing facility has gotten rid of its trash dumpsters. My family used to be in the manufacturing business, and I hate to say it, we would fill those things up day and night. They couldn't pick them up enough. And here is a major automobile manufacturing facility, no waste, gotten rid of their trash dumpsters altogether. Across the nation, an anti-garbage strategy known as zero waste is moving from the fringes. That's you and me, right? We're the fringes. We're the lunatic fringe who says, why are we wasting all this stuff? It's moving from the fringes to the mainstream, taking hold in school cafeterias, national parks, restaurants, stadiums, and corporations. The movement is simple in concept, if not always in execution. Produce less waste. Shun polystyrene foam containers or any other packaging that is not biodegradable. Recycle or compost whatever you can. Though born of idealism, the zero-waste philosophy is now propelled by sobering realities, like the growing difficulty of securing permits for new landfills and an awareness that organic decay in landfills releases methane that helps warm the Earth's atmosphere. I'll tell you one other thing that's driving it. How about cost? Right? How about you don't want to pay the trash man to pick stuff up? You don't want to pay extra amounts for products to be delivered in packaging that's needless. Even Walmart understands that now. Walmart has been making decrees since they've turned over a new leaf, at least in this way, over a year ago, forcing suppliers to provide packaging that is stripped down and not wasteful because it costs less. These are simply things that make good economic sense, good business sense. Still, the article says, Americans are the undisputed champions of trash, dumping 4.6 pounds per person per day. According to the EPA's most recent figures, more than half of that ends up in landfills or is incinerated. But places like the island resort community of Nantucket offer a glimpse of the future, running out of landfill space and worried about the cost of shipping trash 30 miles to the mainland. It moved to a strict trash policy more than a decade ago, said Jeffrey Willett, director of public works on the island. Great article. Great article. This is what's going on. This is where the change is happening. You want to hear good news stories? There's a great news story. And there's great news going on all over the place. Yeah, there's bad news, but I can tell you that the world is changing in many, many positive ways, and this is one of them. Of course, there are going to be lots of people who refuse to change. There are going to be lots of people who call this nonsense, who call this type of action conspiracy theories. But let me tell you, when the Honda Motor Corporation, the second largest motor corporation in Japan, and its eight North American plants, eight of them, count them, eight, that's a lot of manufacturing, have gotten rid of their trash dumpsters, something excellent and terrific is going on. Here in the city of Houston, we have a long way to go, as most of you know. The city is so late getting started, but it is making some strides. We had Director Harry Hayes on several months ago, in which he described that the pilot program to implement a single stream system has proven extremely successful, as we knew it would when we went to city council and told the council and the mayor, you know, you got to do this. And they did, to their credit. A few 10,000 households are now in this single stream process. I'd like to hear how that's going. If anybody's in that program and have you gotten your big bin, give us a call today. Tell us how that's going. 713-526-5738. The plans are to extend it to another 50,000 households here in Houston. And I hope that whoever's elected mayor and is elected to council, that the money will be made available so that all of the city has a proper, modern recycling program. We'll continue to monitor that, and we will take action as soon as it makes sense, probably sometime after a new mayor is elected. Election is coming up next month. So great news there. Matthew Wald writes from Washington, also from New York Times. Fossil fuels' hidden cost is in the billions, a study says. Burning fossil fuels costs the U.S. about $120 billion a year in health costs, mostly because of thousands of premature deaths from air pollution, the National Academy of Sciences reported in a study issued Monday. Now, I know the right wing and Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and our National Academy of Sciences, all these liberal commie scientists in the National Academy of Sciences, right? But their estimate is $120 billion a year is the health cost. And is that cost paid by consumers of fossil fuels? No. This is an external cost. The damages are caused almost equally by coal and oil, according to the study, which was ordered by Congress. The study set out to measure the costs not incorporated into the price of a kilowatt hour or a gallon of gasoline or diesel fuel. The estimates by the Academy do not include... Think about that. Something we've been talking about for years, Congress has now authorized in a study. Isn't that great? Congress set out to say, what are the costs that are not reflected in the price of a gallon of gasoline? There are hidden costs. We want to know what they are. $120 billion in health costs alone. This does not include environmental costs, right? It doesn't include the cost of destroying mountains in West Virginia. Yes, there are health costs associated with that. But what's the cost of decimating half of the state of West Virginia? Degradation of the land. Cost is going to be enormous. The estimates by the Academy do not include damages from global warming, which has been linked to the gases produced by burning fossil fuels. The author said the extent of such damage was too uncertain to estimate. Nor did the study measure damage from burning oil for trains, ships, and planes, and it did not include the environmental damage from coal mining or the pollution of rivers with chemicals that were filtered from coal plant smokestacks to keep the air clean. The largest portion, though, is excess mortality, increased human deaths, as a result of criteria air pollutants emitted by power plants and vehicles, said Jared Cohan, president of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. 20,000 people die prematurely each year from such causes, according to the study's author, who valued each life at $6 million based on the dollar in 2000. The study lends support to arguments that society should pay extra for energy from sources like the wind and the sun, because their indirect costs are extremely small. I don't understand that comment. To me, you ought to be paying extra for oil and coal. That's where you should be paying extra. That's where the extra costs are being excluded. Coal burning was the single biggest source of such external costs. The damages averaged 3.2 cents per kilowatt hour. You hear that? 3.2 cents per kilowatt hour. What does coal energy go for here in Houston? 11 cents a kilowatt hour, maybe? Retail? What offshore? 10? 11? No, that's not for coal. No, not for coal. That's for alternative energy. I don't know. Somebody out there tell me. If you have an electricity plan and your electricity is coming from, let's say, mostly coal. In Texas, you probably can't get mostly coal. You can probably get a mix of coal and natural gas. That's kind of our energy profile here, our electricity profile. You know, if you lived in Ohio, you can probably get 100% coal. But anyway, let's say that you were on a fossil fuel regimen here in Houston. You're probably, what, 10, 11, 12, 13, 13 cents, something like that. Because I'm paying about 15 for all wind. So let's say it's 12. Come on, callers. Somebody knows this number. You always save me here. 713-526-5738. What's an average amount for a fossil fuel electrical plan here in Houston? Right now, I'm going to say it's 12. So the estimate by the congressional sponsored plan by National Academy of Sciences is that tack on an additional 3.2 cents per kilowatt hour for the health problems. And what do you get to? 15 cents. Same price as wind. And this is why the coal industry lobbies so hard. They don't want that 3 cents extra tagged onto them. And that's a conservative amount, because that's just the health problems. That's not paying for the total destruction of the state of West Virginia, half of Wyoming, part of Texas, you know, lots of Illinois. Oh, no, those actions have no cost associated with them. Those are free. So you can see that when you add in the health costs and the other costs, you're actually above wind power. And that's why they are going to Congress, and that's why they lobby. Because they don't want to pay for their dirty stuff. They don't want to pay the fair cost. Mind you, I don't say don't burn coal. I don't say don't use oil. What I say is, if you are a patriotic American and a patriotic citizen of the world, you should be willing to pay your fair share, reflective of all the costs. Then you're a capitalist. What is a capitalist? Capitalist is somebody who's willing to calculate and account for all capital costs of a project. You know, if you're not willing to do that, what are you? You know, you're a schmuck. You're a cheater. And that's what so much of our industry is involved with. Schmucking and cheating. They look at their process. They know it's dirty. They know it's got other costs associated with it than just the price that they're passing on at the wholesale level and then onto the retail level. They know there are health costs. They know there are environmental costs. They don't want those costs added into the tab because then their product would not stack up price-wise with alternatives. And increasingly, that's the case. So if you are a venture capitalist or a business person in the wind energy business or the solar business, you have to go and get subsidies from the government. Otherwise, you have no chance to compete. I'd rather there be no subsidies. I'm a real capitalist. Really, get the government out of all of it. But to do that, the government has to be willing to assess the right regulatory costs for those businesses that are engaged in processes that have costs that are external. Health costs, environmental costs, and other costs. We're getting there. We will get there. It will happen in my lifetime, assuming I live to a, you know, normal life expectancy, which I hope happens. Study did not calculate the military cost of protecting fuel imports. Right? I've gone nuts on this one for a long time. The study did not calculate the military cost of protecting fuel imports. What I've said for a long time is that at least half of U.S. military expenditures are spent in an effort to protect petroleum supplies incoming from other hotspots of the world. Why are those costs not passed on to Exxon or Shell or BP? Right? I mean, if you're in business here in the United States and you have to have extra security to get your product to market, you have to have the help of the U.S. military, let's say. Let's say you're an organic farmer, and you're growing organic tomatoes on the outskirts of Houston. And for you to get those tomatoes successfully from just outside, I don't know where, Katy, to the farmer's market on Saturday morning, here in central Houston, and you got to have the U.S. military convoy that supply of tomatoes. Shouldn't the military hand you a bill at the end of the day and say, here's the bill for protecting your tomato crop as it went to market? And yet the U.S. military, hundreds of billions of dollars a year, essentially protecting the flow of petroleum through the Persian Gulf, through the Straits of Hormuz, through the, what is it, Cape? What's the Cape off of Ethiopia? Is it? Come on, guys. Is it the Cape Horn, maybe? I'm embarrassing myself. You know, that is what the mission is. That is a cost that should be passed on at the pump. It's an enormous cost. It's not. And this study does not calculate it. So what am I saying? This $120 billion from this study by the National Academy of Sciences, totally conservative. I mean, you may as well just double it. $120 billion, $250 billion is probably, you know, you're probably pushing upwards when all is said and done of $500 billion. Added at the pump, added on your electricity bill. And if that was to be done, you would see our country boom economically. You would see all of the stars and all of the incentives aligned just wonderfully, just perfectly. Our capital would flow to the right projects. Projects would be priced properly. And we would be investing in projects that go to our strengths. What are our strengths? We've got great engineers in this country. Great innovation. Scientists. Great distribution channels. The great ability to bring products to market quickly. Legal structures and attorneys and accountants to be able to form companies rapidly. This is our strength as a country. And we're just hurting ourselves by skewing our capital structure and our accounting. And the very people who claim that they're the capitalists, they're the business people, they know how to do the accounting, are the ones who are engaging in this despicable behavior of skewing government regulations. This is what the president's been talking about in the banking industry as he's been addressing the question of financial industry reform over the past few days. As the bonuses have been getting bigger and bigger, the bonuses that are on deck to be paid this year, huge bonuses, the White House has gotten progressively more peeved. The president the other day basically said, we're getting sick of the lobbyists going after Washington after we bailed them out. If you are a capitalist with a clear, with a good conscience, with an honest conscience, if you work for Exxon, I mean, somebody's got to be listening today. We're in Houston, Texas. All of you driving around, some of you work for Anadarko Drilling and Exxon, and I know you're listening. You're driving around Houston. If you have an honest conscience, you should be going into your organizations and say, get the lobbyists out. Tell them to stand down. We must accept full responsibility for the cost of our projects. That's patriotic. It's fair. And if we have to hire the U.S. military to protect our convoy of tankers, that's a cost. If it's $120 billion in healthcare costs that are caused by the use of our products, that's a cost. And we accept that. Tag us with it. One can only hope. 713-526-5738. We're going to take a break in just a few moments for, I don't know, Oshar says there's no traffic, so we're going to take a break for some other station items. In the meantime, there are a few more news stories we're going to get to in just a little bit. Listener Devin Rose wrote me a very nice email, asks about, this is a recent University of Houston graduate, who says, why aren't we doing more on water pollution? Says there's an excellent, excellent story in the New York Times. I've been quoting the New York Times a lot. They did a great, great feature on water pollution in the United States. How we continue to pollute our water sources through industrial processes. This dovetails with the comments I was just making. You know, first of all, that behavior should not be allowed. But if it's going to be licensed, if it's going to be allowed, it's got to have a cost associated with it. And it has to be passed through in the eventual price of the product. Price signals are so critical. It's the way that large populations respond quickly, is through price signals. Anyway, all this talk about the New York Times, or not the talk about it, but my citing of New York Times articles today reminds me of a very angry note I got a few weeks ago from a listener who said, you know, I'm a mouthpiece for the New York Times or something like that. And I replied to him, I said, the New York Times is the paper of record in this country, whether you like it or you don't. The New York Times is the newspaper of record in the United States of America. Get used to it. And they got to that position by working hard and doing quality journalism. Sorry. In a day and age when municipal and metropolitan newspapers are going out of business by the day, increasingly it's the case that the New York Times is the paper of record. It covers the broadest array of topics at the deepest level, from politics to environment to business to arts to science. I'm not saying there aren't other good papers. I read the Wall Street Journal front to back daily. I think it's a great source of news. I think Bloomberg has gotten quite strong with its news. I read lots of periodicals and journals. But the paper of record, when all is said and done, is the New York Times. They hire journalists and they pay to do reporting all over the world. Get used to it. You don't like it? Start something and compete. That's the capitalist way. Last I looked, they're making the investments at the New York Times. And they've continued to upgrade their offerings. So New York Times will continue to serve as a source for the New Capital Show. That's in contrast to what's going on right now with the war of words between the Obama administration and Fox News. We're going to get to that in just a minute after we take a short break. 713-526-5738 is the number here. We'll take your calls in a few moments. Here's Offshore.
Hey, you are listening to the New Capital Show with Leo Gold. It's currently 3:27. We want to remind everyone that coming up this weekend, we begin our fall pledge drive, and we need volunteers. Today, we've got our first volunteer training session, or our third, actually, starting at 6 p.m. So come on by the station at 419 Lovett Boulevard, or give us a call at 713-526-4000. Back to you.
Thanks. What is this? Kirsten's hand. What? Cover the Houston Press, Houston's choice for mayor. You can check the box for black guy. You can check the box for rich white guy, or you can check the box for a lesbian. Those are big boxes, and then there's a small box for Hispanic Republican. I guess they're saying that people vote based upon ethnic racial makeup. That may be. I don't know. We'll see. We got an election coming up. Kirsten, we have that thing lined up here. Here's some President Obama gave an interview to MSNBC in which he talks about two things that I thought were of interest. One is a discussion of Afghanistan, and our recent Vice President Richard Cheney made a speech today at one of these luncheons that, you know, every few weeks Dick Cheney pops up and excoriates President Obama at one of these chicken luncheons. You know where you eat chicken and listen to Dick Cheney, and he did that again today, and this is what you know, and he basically accuses President Obama of treason. Today he slams Cheney slams Obama slams him on Afghanistan policy. Associated Press reports that the ex-vice president, former vice president, pilloried the Obama administration on a variety of issues. The Obama administration is dithering on a decision about whether to send more troops to Afghanistan. They're dithering. And accused the White House of trying to shift the blame for its inaction to the Bush administration. In a wide-ranging speech, the former vice president pilloried the Obama administration on a host of issues, from President Obama's engagement with Iran to his decision to shut down the military prisons at Guantanamo, and his abandonment of the Bush administration's missile defense plans in Eastern Europe. All those were very, very highly successful programs, right? Missile defenses in Europe, Eastern Europe, very successful program. Military prisons in Guantanamo. Oh, no, there was no trouble with that program. And we got a lot of progress with Iran during the Bush administration, right? And, of course, the invasion of Iraq, that was a really effective. Anyway, so here is what President Obama has to say. We're going to play this clip right now. He's going to talk about Afghanistan, and then we'll let it run for a little bit of discussion on Fox News as well. Okay, let's hit it.
So finding out how this whole process in Afghanistan is going to unfold. I thought that the steps that President Karzai took yesterday, agreeing to the certification of a second round, was positive. What we've said is that it is important to make sure that we understand the landscape and the partner that we're going to be dealing with, because our strategy in Afghanistan is not just dependent on military forces. It's also dependent on how well we're doing with our civilian development efforts, how well we're doing in stemming corruption. So this is part of a comprehensive strategy. It always has been. And our basic attitude is that we are going to take the time to get this right. We're not going to drag it out, because there is a sense that the sooner we get a sound approach in place and personnel in place, the better off we're going to be. But we also want to make sure that we don't put resources ahead of strategy.
Could you envision, however, announcing a strategy before the runoff is determined?
I think it is entirely possible that we have a strategy formulated before a runoff is determined. We may not announce it.
One other thing, this stir over Fox News. Well, let's use a sports metaphor, because we're about to do an interview all about women, okay? Is this working the umps? Do you think it's appropriate for the White House to say what is and what is not a news organization?
You know, I think that, understandably, since you're in the news business, this is something that you're very interested in. I think the American people are a lot more interested in what we're doing to create jobs or how we're handling the situation in Afghanistan.
Fair enough, but your advisors raised this issue.
Well, no, I think that what our advisors have simply said is that we are going to take media as it comes. And if media is operating basically as a talk radio format, then that's one thing. And if it's operating as a news outlet, then that's another. But it's not something I'm losing a lot of sleep over.
Okay. Let's talk about the Shriver Report. Mm-hmm. A lot of ways you are really the embodiment.
Okay, so there's the clip. So let's take Afghanistan first. President said several things. As many of you may know, there have been widespread accusations of vote fraud in the recent presidential election in Afghanistan. The president says that he wants to take the time to see who we're dealing with. That seems like a prudent thing to do to me, does it not? We want to see, he's saying, we want to, before we start committing lots of troops willy-nilly to this nation, we'd like to know who is the government there going to be composed of. That seems prudent to me. That doesn't seem prudent to Richard Cheney. He says, this is President Obama, says they want to take the time to get this right. And specifically, he makes what I think is an incredibly important comment. He says it's important that we, quote, don't put resources in front of strategy. Thank God we've got a president who now uses the word resources, who understands the depth of that word, who understands the incredible gravity of the word resources. and what it encompasses and covers. Money, material, goodwill, human lives, resources. Can you imagine if in the 1960s we had a president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who understood resources and the commitment of capital resources? Because resources are always capital in nature. They're a supply of value. That's what a resource is. And he says it exactly right, Obama. We do not want to put resources in front of strategy. We got to have a strategy before we put resources to it. And strategy's got to be coherent. And we have to understand who's the government in Afghanistan. And we have to understand the details of who's the enemy there. And is the enemy still there? Because there are lots of reports that the presence of Al-Qaeda, meaning the core of Al-Qaeda, meaning Osama bin Laden, remember him? The guy Bush was tasked with getting? And decided that he was tired of that effort, so he was going to invade another country called Iraq? That anyone even listens to Dick Cheney and gives that guy the time of day is disgusting. They have no credibility, except among others who have no credibility. Or are not able, or among others who are not able to discern what is credible. They don't even apprehend what is real or true. Watch Frontline. Go back and watch Frontline. Frontline.org. You want to see what's going on in Afghanistan? Go watch the recent report from a week or two ago. Watch the reporters from Frontline embedded with the U.S. military there, and you can see what the deal is in Afghanistan. You come away from that show thinking, huh, what's the mission, Joe? What's the mission there? It makes no sense. I am not saying I understand Afghanistan. I'm sure I don't. But I'm glad that there's a president who's saying, we're going to put strategy first, and then we'll commit resources once we understand the strategy. And it's especially difficult to make large-scale additional commitments to Afghanistan when we don't even know what the government looks like, and there's accusations that the current president of the country engaged in fraud in an election. Dick Cheney excoriates the current president, slams Obama. Just unbelievable. Shameless. As for Fox News, the Obama administration has made the calculation that they are going to call Fox News what it is, which is an extension of talk radio. That's exactly what it is. Hello, you can go and listen to Sean Hannity on the radio, and then you can turn him on Fox. You can turn on Bill O'Reilly on the radio, and then you can watch him on Fox. I think there are others, right? And the president said it exactly right. We're not going to call what is essentially a video duplication of talk radio. We're not going to call that media news. And in my opinion, they should keep it up. And by the end of his administration, the reputation of Fox News should be exactly what its reality is. Remember last week I was talking about John Dido Lurie, the great Zen master who recently passed away. And we played for you a clip after basically my obituary that I gave for him, in which he discussed what a valid life is. A life where your appearance and what you are the same. And that when you don't have that, When you don't have that, you struggle. In my opinion, the bringing together the what the appearance of Fox is and the actuality is right on. This is video talk radio. It's not news. 713-526-5738. We're going to go to the phones now since we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. First up is going to be John. John, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, John. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I've listened to you. You have some very valid points. But, Leo, I think what's happening in the United States right now is, I would say we have a political quagmire in the country where we don't have anybody really trying to solve the solutions of the citizens of the country.
Nobody?
Well, I don't
Nobody.
Think that, well, we have Democrats who act like Republicans and Republicans who act like they really don't care. You know, we have a situation.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We've got all kinds. We've got Democrats that act like Democrats. We've got progressives that act like progressives. We've got Democrats that act like Republicans. We've got Republicans that act like Democrats. I mean, yeah, it's a big country. It's 300 million people, John.
Right. But at the end of it, nobody is really trying to solve the problems that we are facing in the country. The
I am. Are you? Are you?
We are trying. We are trying. But when you have somebody from the Republican Party saying global warming is a hoax,
so
then you automatically know that once the Republicans get in power, things like EPA are going to be strongly controlled by the Republican Party. The same way you were talking about 2 weeks ago, the mountaintop removal in Virginia.
Yep.
And you know, they were just, the EPA was issuing leases, and nobody was protesting or opposing them. But as soon as the Democrat president comes in, all the leases are being canceled, and the violations of the EPA, you know, they're starting to look into them. But nobody was doing this when Bush was president. So our real policies are not based off the choice of the people, but on the political party and the corporations that support them.
John, thanks. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. Folks, you want to change things? If you want to change things, you got to organize. Every single one of you. So, you either get out and you organize or you join something that's already organized, but you got to organize. You know, we're talking about ideas for this hour. And that's great. And ideas lead to action, and action leads to ideas, and it's a virtuous circle. But you want to get something done, you got to organize. That doesn't mean you have to be the leader of it. Everything has a leader, and everything has followers. We need more followers than we need leaders. Actually, that's not true. We need the same amount. Everyone is a leader and a follower. And we have to show the world and our country alternative models. It's very difficult to attack the existing system and try to tell people the existing system is bad, it's bad, it's bad. You have to show people alternative models. Here, let's show you another way to do this. We're Honda Motor Company. Let us show you that we can eliminate all waste in our factory. I guarantee you, if you are competing with Honda Motor Company, and you read that, and you're General Motors, I don't know about General Motors, but, you know, let's say Ford. You know, you're Ford. GM's got their hands full. You know, with other stuff, much less a trash. But let's say you're Ford, which is reasonably well-run, and you read that in today's paper, and you see that, and you realize, hey, wait a minute. They're not producing any trash. That means they don't have to pay a hauler to come here and pick up 50 dumpsters a day and dump stuff. That means it saves costs. That means they can charge less for their cars, which means they can undercut the competition and sell more cars and take market share. So there you go. You have to show an alternative model. And so what we do, how we behave in our lives, what we choose, the businesses that we choose to do business with, the places we go, everything we do is a statement. And And it's a demonstration of the model that we want the world to look like. That's it. That's what we have to do. Are there others who disagree? Yeah. You bet. We'd all be dancing around like fairies in Nirvana if everybody, you know, saw it the way we see it. But, you know, we got work to do. So let's not get down about it. Let's be pumped up and happy. And we'll get there. Next up is Sunny, line two. Phone number here, 713-526-5738. You are listening to the New Capital Show here on 90.1 KPFT FM Houston. We've got about 15 minutes left. Sonny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, I agree with your talking points there at the first part. I'm proud of Honda. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is. It really is. And it totally shows the Japanese approach to life.
Yeah.
Of energy flow. The whole feng shui, it is conducive. When there's clutter, you have a cluttered life and a cluttered energy.
Sonny, they have no trash dumpsters at any of their factories, 8 of them, in North America.
I think that's great. And there's all kind of wonderful things to point out the positive that we're having. You know, I've called in before. I told you I'm a detox reform neocon.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself really pulling back and looking at the broad spectrum of where everything's going. And there was a video released today called Fall of the Republic. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Google it. Fall of the Republic.
Okay.
It's at prisonplanet.tv, and it's probably going to go supernova mega viral.
Yep.
And this is one of the best weapons we've had released to really defeat the New World Order. We are pumped up. And there's a wonderful place here in Houston, houstontruth.org. If you check out our website, we cover all this. And I think most of your listeners would agree that it really is a two-part dictatorship, because why in the world does Richard Head Cheney keep showing up in our media and then attacking the president and him really not returning a blow to him? So it's obvious the shadow elite, the unseen hand, really is these people like Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, who used to work and has stock in Monsanto, the people that are going to be putting Codex Alimentarius on us. So we are having victories, but we have to keep identifying the enemy, and we have to back up from the Mona Lisa and take in everything.
Sonny, thanks. Thanks for the call. The site that Sonny is citing is Prison Planet. It's put out by somebody named Alex Jones. And this looks to be a conspiracy theory about Obama. So, you know, Sonny, either Sonny's confused or he's slipping in kind of in a sideways fashion a plug for this site. But this basically is saying that President Obama is behind martial law or something like that. I don't know. To me, it's just paranoia, but it's just me. I'm not saying things are perfect. I'm not saying our government is, and it's not. Our government's got a lot of problems. No question about it. But we can't wallow in conspiracy theories. You know, we've got to roll our sleeves up. We've got to fix things. We've got to organize together. Okay, next up, let's take Steve. Steve, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, I heard you mentioning Honda, and I think that's really cool. But I just got an email newsletter. I'm signed up to this thing for advocating plug-in cars. I think it's called Plug-in America. And they were basically saying that Honda's lobbying hard with this Chamber of Commerce business that's going on. Have you heard about that?
No.
Well, they're trying to make it harder for plug-ins to come around, I imagine, because they're doing so well with their hybrids. So, I mean, you win some and you lose some, I guess.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on in the battery area right now, for sure. There's an announcement that there may be an electric car plant put in by an Indian company in upstate New York, which needs those types of jobs. There is a lot going on in the area of electric cars and battery technology. And it is a huge, huge, lots riding on it. And I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there. We can sit here and we can talk about conspiracy theories, or we can create some businesses, and we can create some technology to solve our problems, and we can build electric cars, we can price carbon properly. You know, we can do some things. All this conspiracy theory stuff, it's just crackpot crap. And it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of energy. And a lot of people have already wasted a lot of our country's resources, including a lot of our personal energies. So don't be sucked in by it. It's time to get some things done. You have to solve problems. You're either a problem solver or you're just a griper. That's it. Got to do something. Next up is Ben. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to speak with you.
You too.
As an independent conservative, I got to say I was very encouraged by the beginning of your news program. Definitely we can utilize plastics from plants and create a better environment. There's no doubt on, I think, any rational human being's mind that, you know, the coal and oil industry has caused untold millions of deaths,
yep.
You know, due to cancer and whatnot.
Sure.
So I find this very encouraging. I would also recommend to you, and forgive me, I forgot the author's name, but it's called Alcohol Can Be a Gas Too. It's a fantastic read, and not to mention with the breakthroughs we've had with mushrooms, fungi, we could also turn ethanol into a viable resource once again.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thank you for the
Thanks,
call.
Ben.
Have a nice day.
Thanks for the call. A lot going on in the biofuels area. Exxon is committed a huge amount of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, to algae research. They're going to make their bet on producing biofuels from algae, and they've committed, I think it's $500 million, which is quite a significant amount. We'll see if the money gets spent and the projects get done, but there's a lot going on, and those are going to be the fortunes of tomorrow. Those are going to be the fortunes of tomorrow, and we're going to look back 20 years hence, and those people who understood it and understood where the country was going are going to have made investments that make them wealthy, and the gripers are going to be nowhere. You know, the conspiracy theorists are going to be nowhere. This country is going to be carried by people who commit capital to valid projects. Projects that yield returns. And conservatives should be every bit as part of that as progressives and liberals. After all, so much of what we're talking about is conservation. Do you know that we can do much more to reduce the need for energy inputs through conservation than we can through building additional producing and generating facilities? Much more. And did you know that the word conservation and conservative come from the same root? So conservatives, you know, you left the plan at some point. I don't know exactly when. I think it's been, you know, in my lifetime, or maybe longer. I don't know. You know, it's time to get back to the root of conserving. Quit wasting. Clint, let's take Clint on line 4. Clint, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little bit taken back by, I guess, what I'm hearing from you in regards to, like, just labeling someone as a conspiracy theorist, because that term seems to be thrown around like communist was back in the 50s and 60s. It's like as soon as someone says something that's alternative to what the mainstream puts out, all of a sudden they're a nut job. They're wearing tinfoil hats. They're a conspiracy theorist. And I mean, have you even bothered to like look into like any of the things that this guy was talking about that previously called? I mean, are you telling
me? I'm looking at a website right now, Clint, that talks about how to survive martial law in America. This is a banner.
Well, I mean, do you know, like, I mean, you're here in Houston. Don't you know that, like, when I came through, that we were pretty close to being under martial law? I mean, I was at Taco Bell, like, waiting 50 minutes to stand in line for a cold taco when as soon as 10 o'clock hit, they shut the power down on Westheimer, and I had to be in my house or I was going to get fined, like, $3,000. I mean, that's martial law, man.
When I came through. And how are you doing right now? Are you still under martial law?
Not now, but I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen again.
Okay, and this is referring to what on this particular website of a Mr. Alex Jones? Is he referring to martial law during Ike? Or is he referring...
No, he's referring to a potential martial law that could happen again.
I see. Okay,
cool. And I mean, you know, I also lived in Los Angeles during the riots, and I mean, we saw martial law take place during that time as well, you know?
Okay.
So it's not like it can't happen.
All right.
It totally can happen.
I got it. I got it.
And I mean, but why would you be so prejudiced against people, you know, because you say that they're nuts and they're conspiracy theorists without actually, like, even, like, considering, like, what they're saying? I mean, that's, to me, as closed-minded as anybody I've ever heard of.
I will tell you, because we haven't even seen a crime. I mean, these are allegations of conspiracies without anything having happened. There's no martial law in this country that I can tell.
You don't even know that it hasn't happened, though. You don't know that it hasn't happened.
I see.
I mean, do you tell me
right,
everything
Alex.
That you predict
sorry, Clint.
Comes across the news?
All right, Clint. So Clint wants me to prove a negative. Clint wants me to prove that martial law has been secretly declared in this country, and I'm supposed to disprove that. Because he says it might have happened. And that's his idea of production. Intellectual mental production in this day and age when we need to solve some problems. Again, I'm looking at this website that I was referred to by Sonny, prisonplanet.com, and it's showing Barack Obama in all sorts of menacing-looking poses, the fall of the Republic, how to survive martial law in America. And Clint is talking about martial law or military police efforts during a catastrophe, a natural catastrophe, and is saying that that's exactly what's going on here with this particular website. And there are questions as to why I'm saying there are some disconnects and problems with certain people putting information together. I mean, to me, Clint proved the exception there. Clint demonstrated exactly what I'm talking about. Are there conspiracies? Yeah. Yeah, there are conspiracies. Some are formal, some are kind of informal. But the attempt by someone like Alex Jones that I'm looking at right now on a website to postulate that the President of the United States is involved with a larger conspiracy to impose martial law in America and says it could have happened and wants me to disprove that, to me demonstrates exactly some of the problem that we're dealing with. James, I'm sorry, we didn't get to you. We're out of time today. www.newcapitalshow.com. Come on, folks. Let's make some change. Let's organize. Let's put out some products. Let's clean up our environment. Let's streamline our energy processes. Let's cost our processes right. That's how we're going to get things right. All this other nonsense is nonsense. Don't get sucked in by it. www.newcapitalshow.com. Thanks to Offshore. Thanks to Kirsten, as always, for engineering the show. I'll be back next week. We'll be in Pledge Drive. Don't let that scare you away. Let that bring you to our station even more than before. We'll talk about propositions on the upcoming election ballot next week. We'll hit them in detail. Take care.
The urban farmers of Last Organic Outpost invite you to the first ever Community Green Fest benefiting KPFT, Saturday, October 24th from noon to 6 p.m. at their Emile Street Community Farm in the historic Fifth Ward at 711 North Emile. There'll be something for everyone. It's a gathering of community celebrating all things renewable, sustainable, and green. There'll be harvesting, seed planting, exhibits by green organizations and businesses, electric cars, biodiesel, composting and yoga demonstrations, eco workshops, back massages in the garden, and a zone for the kiddos. Live music by Kenny Corberubius, Aunt Sue's Biodynamic String Band, George Hernandez, The Free Radicals, Mookie Jones, Ace, We Are Half Nelson, and Kayumangi Pinoy Rock Band. Artist Charles Washington will be demonstrating art out of recycled material. There's a raffle and silent auction by the Houston Green Scene. 12 to 6 p.m. this Saturday at 711 North Emile. Go to kpft.org and lastorganicoutpost.org for more details. Benefiting KPFT Houston.
Ever thought of joining the awesome group of volunteers who make KPFT happen? Well, now's your chance. Our fall pledge drive is coming up October 25th to November 11th. The schedule for phone volunteering is flexible, including mornings, evenings, and weekends. All you need is legible handwriting, good hearing, and be friendly on the phone. Sign up for one of